All right, this is 21. I don't know what chapter we were in. I don't know. But this one here, for those of you on the radio, now we are in chapter 21. And this one's about character formation, and this is out of the booklet for the book Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2. All right, the first one here, and it's chapter 21. The first one's the same. I don't know what you mean there, but I'm just going to read it. Please don't confuse me any further. Every act of, this one here is called Every Act Influences Character. Every act of life, however unimportant, has its influence in forming the character. A good character is more precious than worldly possessions, and the work of forming it is the noblest in which men engage. And yeah, I can understand, yeah, that kind of reminds me of the green grass thing. Just like with character, every little influence within it is going to cause it to be good or bad. Like the grass will be green or brown, depending upon what's there that's supposed to be there or what's there that's not supposed to be there. Right, the next one is the mind is the garden, character the fruit. Every faculty in man is a workman that is building for time and for eternity. Day by day, the structure is going up. Although the possessor is not aware of it, it is a building which must stand either as a beacon of warning because of its deformity, or as a structure which God and the angels will admire for its harmony with the divine model. You know, the thought comes to mind when you think of something like this, the way she's explaining it, like the workman is a building for time and for eternity. Day by day, it's a structure going up. Reminds me of a ladder, not Jacob's ladder. It's just more or less a ladder. We're like rungs in the ladder that we're climbing up to get to a perfect character in life. And if you get to a point where you stop growing and you've given up and you don't want to get even closer and closer and closer to Christ in life, where's the sense in continuing to live? You know, if the Lord sees someone constantly striving to get better and better and better and closer and closer and closer to Christ, he's going to allow that person to continue breathing so that, you know. Now, I'm not saying the people that give up are going to be killed by God like he's a hitman or something like that. I'm just saying, what would be the sense in living if you've gotten to the point where you want to be? Especially if you're not walking on water and raising the dead. But she goes on to say, the mental and moral powers which God has given us do not constitute character. They are talents which we are to improve and which, if properly improved, will form a right character. A man may have precious seed in his hand, but that seed is not an orchard. A seed must be planted before it can become a tree. The mind is the garden. The character is the fruit. God has given us our faculties to cultivate and develop. Our own course determines our character. In training these powers so that they shall harmonize and form a valuable character, we have a work which no one but ourselves can do. Let me read one more. A noble character formed by stern battles with self. And yes, you will definitely have stern battles with self. I used to have a real problem with self. But going on, she says, Christ has given us no assurance that to attain perfection of character is an easy matter. A noble, all-around character is not inherited. It does not come to us by accident. A noble character is earned by individual effort through the merits and grace of Christ. God gives the talents, the powers of the mind. We form the character. It is formed by hard, stern battles with self. Conflict after conflict must be waged against hereditary tendencies. And she brings that up a lot. I don't know if you guys noticed that in girls, but she brings that up a lot, where the hereditary tendencies, because your parents truly do affect the way you act in your adulthood. And we affect the way our kids act. So she's constantly bringing this up. It's not that it's not hereditary in today's, like a lot of people will call it, like male pattern baldness. That's hereditary. But they say there's inklings to that effect. I just think it's diet. But and another weird things that, you know, like the way a person smiles, you know, certain muscle structures in the face that he got from his mother or his dad will cause his smile to be a little bit crooked or whatever. That's hereditary. Or not having a perfect set of choppers inside your teeth, you know, in your mouth, your teeth, you know. That's hereditary. in today's standards. What she's talking about here is, you know, it's almost the same word, of course, but it's it talks about how we're, you know, the parents are influencing our actions, and we grow in that direction is the way they train us. And I guess you all know that, but I'm just, for the sake of any babes that are listening online, babes in Christ, that is. We shall have to, she goes on to say that we shall have to criticize ourselves closely and allow not one unfavorable trait to remain uncorrected. Got to be saints down here before we can be saints up there. Amen to that.
Good evening, everybody. We'll continue on. Meditation and action is essential. Essential. Abstract meditation is not enough. Busy action is not enough. Both are essential to the formation of Christian character. That one was short. Develop good mental habits. If we would develop a character which God can accept, we must form correct habits in our religious life. Daily prayer is essential to growth in grace, and even to spiritual life itself, as is temporal food to physical well-being. We should accustom ourselves to lift the thoughts often to God in prayer. If the mind wanders, we must bring it back. By persevering effort, habit will finally make it easy. We cannot for one moment separate ourselves from Christ with safety. We may have his presence to attend us at every step, but only by observing the conditions which he himself has laid down. Earnest purpose and steadfast integrity essential. Thoroughness is necessary to success in the work of character building. There must be an earnest purpose to carry out the plan of the master builder. The timbers must be solid. No careless, unreliable work can be accepted, for this would ruin the building. The powers of the whole being are to be put into the work. It demands the strength and energy of manhood. There is no reserve to be wasted in unimportant matters. There must be earnest, careful, persevering effort to break away from the customs, maxims, and associations of the world. Deep thought, earnest purpose, steadfast integrity are essential. I'll read one more. Keeping the eye on God. Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. All these successive steps are not to be kept before the mind's eye and counted as you start, but fixing the eye upon Jesus, with an eye single to the glory of God, you will make advancement. You cannot reach the full measure of the nature of Christ in a day, and you would sink in despair could you behold all the difficulties that must be met and overcome. You have Satan to contend with, and he will seek by every possible device to attract your mind from Christ.
Okay. I was waiting for LG, but I will go ahead if you're not reading tonight, LG. Okie dokie. True enough, she might have stepped away. Okay, we are on faithfulness in little things, correct? Faithfulness in little things counsel to a young man. Your case is similar in some respects to Naaman. You do not consider that in order to perfect the Christian character, you must condescend to be faithful in the little. Although the things you are called to do may be of small account in your eyes, yet they are duties which you will have to do just as long as you live. Welcome back, Elgin. A neglect of these things will make a great deficiency in your character. You, my dear boy, should educate yourself to faithfulness in small things. You cannot please God unless you do this. You cannot gain love and affection unless you do just as you are bidden, with willingness and pleasure. If you wish those with whom you live to love you, you must love and respect, and you must show love and respect to them. The next section, character to be tested. It makes every difference what material is used in the character building. The long expected day of God will soon test every man's work. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13. As fire reveals the difference between gold, silver, and precious stones and wood, hay and stubble, so the day of judgment will test characters, showing the difference between characters formed after Christ's likeness and characters formed after the likeness of the selfish heart. All selfishness, all false religion, will then appear as it is. The worthless material will be consumed, but the gold of truth, simple, humble faith will never lose its value. It can never be consumed, for it is imperishable. 1 hour of transgression will be seen to be a great loss, while the fear of the Lord will be seen to be the beginning of wisdom. The pleasure of self-indulgence will perish as stubble, while the goal of steadfast principle maintained at any cost will endure forever. And one more. Undisciplined characters are discordant. Characters formed by circumstance are changeable and discordant, a mass of contraries. Their possessors have no high aim or purpose in life. They have no ennobling influence upon the characters of others. They are purposeless and powerless.
No one can injure character as much as we ourselves. We may expect that false reports will circulate about us, but if we follow a straight course, if we remain indifferent to these things, others will also be indifferent. Let us leave to God the care of our reputation. Slander can be lived down by our manner of living. It is not lived down by words of indignation. Let our great anxiety be to act in the fear of God and show by our conduct that these reports are false. No one can injure our character as much as ourselves, as we ourselves. It is the weak trees and the tottering houses that need to be constantly propped. When we show ourselves so anxious to protect our reputation against attacks from the outside, we give the impression that it is not blameless before God, and that it needs, therefore, to be continually bolstered up. Controlled by will. You cannot control your impulses, your emotions, as you desire, but you can control the will, and you can make an entire change in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, your life will be hid with Christ in God, and allied to the power which is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from God that will hold you fast to his strength, and a new light, even the light of living faith, will be possible to you. There will be in you a power, an earnestness, and a simplicity that will make you a polished instrument in the hands of God. The next one is, defects can be overcome. Let no one say, I cannot remedy my defects of character. If you come to this decision, you will certainly fail of obtaining everlasting life. The impossibility lies in your own will. If you will not, then you cannot overcome. The real difficulty arises from the corruption of an unsanctified heart and an unwillingness to submit to the control of God. To the heart that has become purified, all is changed. Transformation of character is the testimony to the world of an indwelling Christ. The Spirit of God produces a new life in the soul, bringing the thoughts and desires into obedience to the will of Christ, and the inward man is renewed in the image of God. Weak and erring men and women show to the world that the redeeming power of grace can cause the faulty character to develop into symmetry and abundant fruitfulness.
Okay, defective character is sometimes inherited. There are all kinds of characters to deal with in the children and youth, and their minds are impressionable. Many of the children who attend our schools have not had proper training at home. Some have been left to do as they pleased. Others have been found fault with and discouraged. Very little pleasantness and cheerfulness have been shown them. Few words of approval have been spoken to them. They have inherited the defective characters of their parents, and the discipline of the home has been no help in the formation of right character. The next one is defects strengthen with years. The children learn lessons that are not easily unlearned. Whenever they are subjected to unaccustomed restraint or required to apply themselves to hard study, they appeal to their injurious, I think that's how you say it. Let's go to the dictionary. Let me see if I can get it. Okay, here we go. It's a new one for me today, so I guess. I've seen the word before, but I don't remember ever saying it.
Injudicious.
And it means lacking, of course. Lacking or showing a lack of judgment or discretion. Injudicious parents. Okay. They appeal to their injudicious parents for sympathy and indulgence. Thus, a spirit of unrest and discontent is encouraged. The school as a whole suffers from the demoralizing influence, and the teacher's burden is rendered much heavier. But the greatest loss is sustained by the victims of parental mismanagement. Defects of character which a right training would have corrected are left to strengthen with years, to mar and perhaps destroy the usefulness of their possessor. Which means they end up hellbound, literally. But then when you think of today's schools, they've been teaching and preaching secular humanism now since I was a teenager. So now the kids have been so destroyed spiritually that it really doesn't matter what happens in the home. When the kid gets to the school, he's going to be all twisted around anyway, unless the home is an absolute Christian household. But then usually when it's a Christian household, they homeschool. But because the peer pressure is unbelievable. I mean, because when I was growing up, it wasn't until school. I was a pretty good kid, and I was easy to get along with, and I was always happy and stuff like that. But when I got around those kids at school, after I started growing up to the point where they stopped pounding on me, and I started making friends. You know, not just friends with the underdogs that were already getting beat up. I was making friends with some of the tough guys, too. I still made friends with the underdogs because I remember what I came from. But the tough guys always had the bad influence. And so, that government schooling was designed perfectly by Satan had his hand in it. And so I can't give him any kind of perfection. When it comes to human standards, Satan, of course, is a genius we can't match. And it's so annoying to see what he does. They have double dare you, or chicken, words like that, or they knock this chip off my shoulder, or they draw a line and push you over it, or whatever. You know, there's always something there. Schoolyard bullies. Nowadays, a schoolyard bully is literally taking his life in his hands because he's pushing around a little kid, and today, it's happened so many times already where the kids that get pushed around he's packing a gun, and it turns into another Columbine. Every time I see those schools getting shot up, another one just got shot up in another country that they're blaming on us because the kids were all infatuated with the Columbine thing. They got websites about it and everything, which I think is just plain idiocy to allow websites like that. But, you know, what are you going to do? But these... For them to have that as a role model, it's really, really, really shows you how far into towards the end we are. I mean, what the kids are doing, it's just a really big beacon as to what their parents are up to. All right, continuing, indulgence unsettles characters. The last one I'll read. It says, in some families, the wishes of the child are law. Boy, that's today, big time. Everything he desires is given him. Everything he dislikes, he is encouraged to dislike. These indulgences are supposed to make the child happy, but it is these very things that make him restless, discontented, and satisfied with nothing. And I can attest to that, too, because I remember hanging around with some rich kids, and their parents would give them this and give them that, and it was like, oh, no big deal. They didn't care. They had no value of the dollar, and I'd get a quarter, and I'd hold on to that with tooth and nail, you know? And because we got coming from a large family like I did, you didn't have much. And so you weren't discontent in a lot of areas. But then again, you know, there's other areas that the devil attacks to get you there anyway. So, but finishing it up, she says, indulgence has spoiled his appetite for plain, healthful food, for the plain, healthful use of his time. Gratification has done the work of unsettling that character for time and for eternity. Amen. Hey, Steer. How you doing?
Continuing on. Mind and heart to be disciplined. Children who are allowed to have their own way are not happy. The unsubdued heart has not within itself the elements of rest and contentment. The mind and heart must be disciplined and brought under proper restraint in order for the character to harmonize with the wise laws that govern our being. Restlessness and discontent are the fruits of indulgence and selfishness. The soil of the heart, like that of a garden, will produce weeds and brambles unless the seeds of precious flowers are planted there and receive care and cultivation. As in visible nature, so it is with the human soul. Habits formed in youth mark the life course. By the thoughts and feelings cherished in early years, every youth is determining his own life history. Correct virtues, manly habits formed in youth will become a part of the character and will usually mark the course of the individual through life. The youth may become vicious or virtuous as they choose. They may as well be distinguished for true and noble deeds as for crime and wickedness. And the next one is a day-by-day experience. The intellect is continually receiving its mold from opportunities and advantages, ill or well improved. Day by day, we form characters, which place students as well-disciplined soldiers under the banner of Prince Emmanuel, or rebels under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. Which shall it be? I guess you have a choice. And I'll read one more. It's kind of a long one. How character is formed. It is very delicate to work a deal with human minds. The discipline necessary for one would crush another. Therefore, let parents study the characters of their children. Never be abrupt and act from impulse. I have seen a mother snatch something from the hand of her child, which was giving it special pleasure, and the child would not understand what to make of the deprivation. The little one burst forth into a cry, for it felt abused and injured. Then the parent, to stop its crying, gave it a sharp chastisement. I wish I got sharp chastisement. I always got popped. And as far as an outward appearances were concerned, the battle was over. But that battle left its impression on the tender mind of the child, and it could not be easily effaced. I said to the mother, "You have deeply wronged your child. You have hurt its soul and lost its confidence in you. How this will be restored, I know not." This mother was very unwise. She followed her feelings and did not move cautiously, reasoning from cause to effect. Her harsh, injudicious management stirred up the worst passions in her heart, in the heart of her child. To act from impulse in governing a family is the very worst of policy. When parents contend with their children in such a way, it is a most unequal struggle that ensues. How unjust is it to put years and maturity of strength against a helpless, ignorant little child? Every exhibition of anger on the part of the parent confirms rebellion in the heart of the child. It is not through one act that the character is formed, but by a repetition of acts that habits are established and character confirmed. To have a Christ-like character, it is necessary to act in a Christ-like way. Christians will exhibit a holy temper, and their actions and impulses will be prompted by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Importance of perseverance. In perfecting a Christian character, it is essential to persevere in right doing. I would impress upon our youth the importance of perseverance and energy in the work of character building. From the earliest years, it is necessary to weave into the character principles of stern integrity that the youth may reach the highest standard of manhood and womanhood. They should ever keep the fact before their eyes that they have been bought with a price and should glorify God in their bodies and spirits, which are His. The next one, usefulness depends upon personal decision. While parents are responsible for the character as well as for the education and training of their sons and daughters, it is still true that our position and usefulness in the world depend to a great degree upon our own course of action. Daniel and his companions enjoyed the benefits of correct training and education in early life, but these advantages alone would not have made them what they were. The time came when they must act for themselves, when their future depended upon their own course. Then they decided to be true to the lessons given them in childhood. The fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, was the foundation of their greatness. His Spirit strengthened every true purpose, every noble resolution. A perilous false philosophy. Spiritualism asserts that men are unfallen demigods, that each mind will judge itself, that true knowledge places men above all law, that all sins committed are innocent, for whatever is right, and God doth not condemn. The basis of human beings it represents as in heaven, and highly exalted there. Thus it declares to all men, it matters not what you do, live as you please, heaven is your home. Multitudes are thus led to believe that desire is the highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself, which of course we know is wrong. I think, was that three? I'm not sure. Lynn, can you go on?
Surely. How to be overcomers. We must meet all obstacles placed in our way and overcome them one at a time. Amen. If we overcome the first difficulty, we shall be stronger to meet the next, and at every effort, we're able to make advancement. By looking to Jesus, overcomers, it is by fastening our eyes on the difficulties and shrinking from earnest battle for the right that we become weak and faithless. So true. I mean, with the experience right now going through, I mean, truly, the lesson is to stay focused on Christ. Sometimes, you know, even though it's not good, trials and difficulties can make you become discouraged or frustrated, you know, but true enough, as it says, by looking to Jesus, we may become overcomers. And it is by fastening our eyes on the difficulties and shrinking from earnest battle for the right that we become weak and faithless. Amen, Bonnie. Keeping your eyes on Him daily, we will eventually reflect His image. And looks like the last section here is giving all every day. By taking one step after another, the highest ascent may be climbed, and the summit of the mount may be reached at last. Do not become overwhelmed with the great amount of work you must do in your lifetime. Man, and that's so true. So many times you see the amount of work you have to do. I know I say that, and it's like, it makes you tired. But it says, right, yikes. Do not become overwhelmed with the great amount of work you must do in your lifetime, for you are not required to do it all at once. I know, I have to remember that. Day by day, moment by moment, second by second, really. Let every power of your being go to each day's work. Improve each precious opportunity. appreciate the help that God gives you, and make advancement up the ladder of progress step by step. I mean, I know today I kind of chucked it up to a day that was basically, I don't know, maybe just to get out and get some sunshine, and took my little dog up to a little place where it's like there's water, like a little walkway around some water, and was just thanking the Lord for a beautiful, sunny, warm day, and to be able to walk out there and to see how the little dog was enjoying herself, and, you know, the breeze, and we just sat there, and I sat and ate some fruit, and she was just enjoying the breeze, and I was just saying, okay, thank you, Lord. I don't know how many more days I'm going to be able to do this in the car. I don't know how many more days I'll be able to do whatever, but thank you for this day, you know, and, you know, a very dear sister in Christ told me, you know, look at the things that you do have. Fasten your eyes on the blessings that you do have. Praise Him for the things that you do have. Don't look at what you don't have. Don't look at the difficulties, you know. Thank Him for what you do have. So, finishing up here, it says here, do not become overwhelmed with the great amount of work you must do in your lifetime, for you are not required to do it all at once. Let every power of your being go to each day's work, and improve each precious opportunity. Appreciate the help that God gives you, and make advancement up the ladder of progress step by step. Remember that you are to live but one day at a time, that God has given you one day, and heavenly records will show how you have valued its privileges and opportunities. May you so improve every day given you of God that at last you may hear the Master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Taken from Matthew 25:21, and that is my aim, to hear that by His grace.
Amen. I got to get. So, Brother Chris, can you pray?
Of course. If you can kneel, do so. If not, please bow your heads and your hearts. We'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We worship You and we glorify You, for only You are worthy of our worship. We thank You for the many blessings that You have given us in our lives, the little ones and the big ones. We ask that we always take the time, that You help us to always take the time to notice those little things and to take it one day at a time, Father, to not get lost in life, to trust in the fact that Your hand is in control, and tomorrow will take care of itself, and that we can live for today. We hold up our prayer list, Father, those in need of spiritual healing, those that are in need of even finding Your Son, those who are looking for work, or maybe a better situation in life, or a different situation in life. We ask to see Your hand move in their lives as You would see fit, Father, and in Your own time. We'd ask that tomorrow, as we walk in the world, that we can be a light for Jesus, and that we can always remember the words that we've studied here this evening, and have the ability to share them with those that we come in contact with. For that is the purpose, is to bring the others to Christ, to Your Son. So I ask, Father, that tomorrow You give each of us one person, just one at a time, but one that we can witness to. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. I should have mentioned, if you can keep us in prayer too, we're going through a pretty intense trial here. The Lord's allowing it, and we need the strength to endure it. And so, thank you again. We'll see you Friday night. God bless everybody.